Phyllis called me and said, get down here, he wants to see you. I got there, and she said, he wants to talk about the Maori, and he's heard that you've been to Normandy. We talked, and he was in a hospital bed, not from here to that door, from the front door of the house, and he was, could hardly speak. And he'd mumble out these, you know, we talked back and forth. And I talked to Phyllis afterwards and said, you know, he was always with what could be interpreted as mock humility, self-depreciating. And she said, it wasn't mock humility. It was part of his personality. He was his deepest layer. He didn't think he was capable of love or being loved. He wasn't worthy of being loved. And this, I would settle for being a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord. You've heard that? He used to say that. And he said, my sarcasm and other things, on and on. And then, pretty soon, there was a knock on the door. There was two Relief Society sisters with dinner. They brought this dinner, nice dinner. And they rushed over and hugged him and kissed him. And he just wept. And later she said, did you notice that? And he said, I said, yes, I did. Have you ever seen my husband show emotion? No. Well, until that time, I never imagined that he could be that way, she said. He couldn't. And he would be saying to me, Phyllis, I was kept after school by the Lord so that I would learn a lesson that I needed to learn before I passed away. That's interesting. Yeah, you see him in a different light. So that what seemed like self-depreciation was his sense of inadequacy, despite the fact that he was extraordinarily bright and could learn languages, but he couldn't learn how to use a computer.